Hello and thank you so much for joining me on the show today. This is the Diabetes Show on UK Health Radio, your global, real, feel-good radio station. My name is Peter Alton of Undefeated, and I'm your host for today and the coming weeks. Hello, this is the Diabetes Show on UK Health Radio, your global real feel-good radio station. My name is Peter Alton. I'm your host as usual, and I can't wait to bring you the session this week. We've got a fantastic interview with a wonderful lady called Hannah. Hannah Purdy is her name. She is a practice nurse, registered nurse over here in the UK, and she has just written a book from her experience, both as a nurse and also in her own family as well. And the book is called Could It Be Insulin Resistance? And you have heard that term bandied around with regards to diabetes, and absolutely it is a huge part of type 2 diabetes, and you can also get it whilst having type 1 diabetes as well, of course. But could it be insulin resistance? Well, you know, could what be insulin resistance? Well, could some of the problems that you're living with be insulin resistance? And yeah, you know, I'm just going to read a little bit of blurb from the Amazon sort of sale blurb, if you like, because I think that actually is quite helpful. It says, do you have high cholesterol and or high blood pressure, gallbladder problems, perhaps a diagnosis of fatty liver? Are you tired all the time? Do you crave sweet snacks? Are your hormones in turmoil? Do you have a bit too much fat around your middle? Your doctor may have tested you for type 2 diabetes and found it's not a problem yet. Maybe you've been told you've got pre-diabetes. I just added that bit in. But you almost certainly already have its precursor, insulin resistance. Nurse practitioner Hannah Purdy shares her long experience in public health nursing as well as with improving her own family's health to present this practical evidence-based guide to what insulin resistance means, what causes it, and what to do about it. And there's a little bit more of information on it there. And if you go to the Amazon page, you can actually read a little bit more about it as well. We've got the fantastic opportunity of hearing from the horse's mouth, so to speak. Sorry, Hannah, for saying that. But we've got the opportunity to hear Hannah speak herself about the condition and about her book. And I hope that you will carry on listening to the rest of the show and listen to what she has to say, because I think there are some real nuggets in there, some real helpful things which may help you with a health condition you didn't even know was related to insulin resistance. But before we get Hannah on, we're going to listen to a song. And the song was actually chosen, I think, by her children. It's by Coldplay, and the song is called Viva La Vida.
When I gave the word, now in the morning I sleep alone. Sweep the streets I used to own. The crowd would sing. to let me in. Shattered windows and the sound of drums. People couldn't believe what I'd become. Revolutionaries wait for my head on a silver plate. Just a puppet on a lonely string. Oh, who would ever want to be king? I hear Jerusalem bells ringing. Roman cavalry choirs are singing. Be my mirror, my sword and shield. My missionary.
That was Coldplay and Viva La Vida. Hope you enjoyed it. You're listening to The Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio, your global, real, feel-good radio station. My name is Peter Olsen. I'm your host. And we are about to interview a lady who has written what seems to be an amazing book, actually. Really, really useful, both for people with diabetes and also for people with many other conditions as well. Her name is Hannah Purdy. Her book is called Could It Be Insulin Resistance? And I'm certainly going to be getting a copy. It sounds fantastic to me. Welcome to the show, Hannah.
Thank you.
And that song was, I think, chosen by your teenage kids, I believe.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okie dokes. Well, it's good to get
a good
cross-section of songs in the show, so that's great. Okay, so we've got you on the show today, and I think, really, everybody should prick up their ears because you're a fount of knowledge on this subject. You've got a few years of nursing experience, I believe. But you're also an author of a new book, which is called Could It Be Insulin Resistance?
Yeah, and that's right.
Yeah. So just tell us a little bit about your career so far, your nursing, how long you've been doing it. And just tell us a little bit about that.
Well, most of my nursing career, I've been working in primary care, and that's where my interest towards chronic illnesses or symptoms have started. It's very, very complicated area, you know. So yeah, lots of diabetics, people with hypertension, you know, high blood pressure, metabolic syndrome. Kind of problems, basically.
Metabolic syndrome is a phrase that gets a lot of misunderstanding, I think. Can you explain a little bit more about what you mean by metabolic syndrome? Because you know, the listeners, I'm sure some of them.
Well, that's the insulin resistance,
which is what we're going to be talking about.
So that's metabolic syndrome. Yeah, so it's the same thing. So we all know that that's to do with diabetes. Isn't it? But we don't realise that it's behind all of these metabolic issues. So, shall I say what insulin resistance means?
Or? Well, yes, you're preempting my next question, I suppose.
I
was going to say, you've got the listeners on the edge of their seat now wanting to know what this is all about. Tell us what it is on a sort of, maybe at a sort of a biological level. What is insulin resistance?
So basically, when we eat carbohydrates in our diet, so essentially sugar, so our bread, pasta, potatoes, and sugar as it is, so all the starchy food basically, then our body releases insulin as a result. And insulin is a little bit like the key into the cells, so then the sugar from our bloodstream can enter the cells and it's used as energy. So that's basically how our metabolic how it works. But the problem is now that we eat in our modern diet, we eat too much of the starchy food, so for most of us it's too much, so then our body needs to release the insulin quite a lot. It's needed maybe more often than it should be. You know, it's a hormone, it's supposed to be in your bloodstream just a short period of time, you know, every now and then, but we keep eating too much sugar and too often maybe, so it's needed all the time. So what happens is then our cells become resistant to the effect of insulin. They stop responding when the insulin is there, but we keep eating the starchy food, then our body is, so your pancreas that's secreting the insulin is trying to overcome this resistance by putting more insulin in, secreting more insulin to overcome this resistance. So then we end up in a situation where we've got too much insulin in our body all the time, and we think that that's the root problem.
Right.
So then it's a bit of a vicious circle. You know, the more the more insulin we have in our body, the worse the resistance gets. We keep eating the sugar, needs to go somewhere, you know. And we think that it's only after this compensation mechanism breaks and our blood sugar levels are then constantly high, and that's when we're diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. Right. But this problem with too much insulin in our body, it might have been there for years, maybe decades before that happened. So right. Diabetes is a bit like the late stage. So that's the metabolic syndrome basically. So it's a problem with too much insulin in the body. Okay. And insulin resistance, and then and this too much insulin then causes, it's a root problem of many, it affects many tissues in different ways in our body, causing lots of different problems. So that's...
Okay, we'll touch on some of those a little bit later on, I think, as well. I said earlier on that, you know, the listeners should be pricking up their ears to listen to what you're saying. And I suspect that possibly, you know, we've also got a mixture of listeners. We've got type 1s, type 2s.
Yeah,
maybe some with gestational or whatever, pre-diabetes probably as well, listening. Mm-hmm. But I think historically, in my opinion anyway, I think probably you'll be agreeing with me on this one, that some people with type 1 think that insulin resistance is a part of type 2 only, whereas it is a big part of type 2, but people with type 1 can also very much develop insulin resistance. And the fact that they're injecting it in, it doesn't mean that, hey, they're always going to respond to that insulin, that sometimes as time goes on, they have to put more in and the effect is less because of insulin resistance. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they should keep listening.
Yeah. But obviously it's a completely different illness, like, you know, yourself, you know. So there is no insulin, so we need to inject the insulin. But obviously, if you know, I don't have those patients that I have with type 1 diabetes, they obviously, if you eat less carbohydrates, you need to inject less insulin, and although you need the insulin, that goes without saying, because your body isn't producing any. But then if there's less carbohydrates, less insulin, it's easier to manage the blood sugar levels, keep them stable rather than going up and up and up, you know, inject the insulin, because you then risk the same complications as are with type 2 diabetes, yeah. And it's often in young people.
Almost like you can get type 2 on top of type 1 almost. It's all gone. If you abuse it.
There's a great middle area, isn't there? Many type 2 diabetics have then reduced, insulin production.
Okay.
These are never simple, they're complicated. You know, with complicated mechanisms, our bodies.
They are indeed, yeah. Quite amazing, actually, how they do last as long as they do. In years gone by, it was you'd die of some infection, or you'd die of, I don't know, some thug warrior coming and killing you. Whereas nowadays, it's chronic disease, isn't it? Abuse of our bodies to ourselves. So let's talk about, the listeners here are thinking, it's all very well banding around metabolic syndrome and insulin resistance, but how do I know if I've got it? How do I keep my eyes open on my loved one to know if they've got it? What are some of the symptoms that you can...
Because like I said, it affects many tissues. You know, you get problems all around your body with it, but we're all different, aren't we? Genetically different as to how we react to metabolic problems in our body. So I think the most common, or what I see the most common sign, is usually excess weight.
Right.
It's because insulin is a storage hormone, so it keeps storing the excess sugar as fat and many of that, whereas it sort of stops the effect of its opposite hormone, which is there when we don't eat. You know, there's a balance when we eat and don't eat, so we shouldn't snack all the time, but that's not it. The other hormone, which would allow us to burn the fat, that's never there active, so we have too much insulin, which is very, you know, much there all the time, so we put on weight, or many of us put on weight. Then another thing is of course excess insulin retains them, or our kidneys tells us our kidneys to retain sodium, salt, so we get a bit of water retention, you know, swelling and high blood pressure maybe. But I think it's the especially young people, it's the sort of constantly fluctuating blood sugar levels as a result, which cause tiredness and food cravings and mood swings. Maybe, you know, we eat the sugar or start, you know, our bread, and then our blood sugar levels go up, and then they come crashing down with all that insulin there. So then we, once that happens, we're very tired, we need to eat again, we, you know, want all the sugary sweet stuff maybe, or more bread or things like that. So those sort of things, mood swings as a result of this as well. So
I wonder if teenagers growing up in years gone by, when there wasn't as much carbs and sweet and the bad stuff, whether their mood swings and grumpiness was the same as it is nowadays.
But you know, as adults, road rage and things like that, I always think, you know. But teenagers, complicated. But I think that, you know, currently all the depression and these sort of things, it has a lot to do with this problem.
Right. Yeah. Okay. And one of the big things I think is that when you've had a meal, if you're feeling pretty sleepy and tired afterwards, is that one of the big signs of possibly having?
Definitely. Have too many carbohydrates, you know, blood sugar levels get too low after.
Yeah. I was actually guilty yesterday evening, I'll be up front. I mean,
we all do that. We've all been there, haven't we?
I mean, it wasn't that. I wasn't eating lots of sugary stuff, and I had brown rice, but I know I shouldn't really have too much rice anyway. And I like brown rice, and I did have a little second portion of it. With something else that was very healthy, a sort of stir fry type thing. Even after that, I was feeling pretty drowsy, actually, and I know it was the rice.
it's true.
Okay. Now, you've got
three kids, high end of their teens, and I think I've read somewhere that they are, correct me if I'm wrong, but they're pretty much on a sugar-free lifestyle, no added sugar in their lives. Is that right? You're...
Well, yeah.
As far as you can tell.
Yeah, that is the issue for years. So, yeah, I mean, because I've been, you know, into sort of healthy eating for, you know, years, I've never bought them sweets or, you know, occasionally, just like anybody, you know, they like their chocolate occasionally or eat a bit of cake or pizza every now and then, then that's fine. Yeah. We all do that. But I've never sort of, I think children don't sort of automatically like sweet stuff or sort of rubbish food. It's us parents or adults that sort of get them into that, so we keep buying that until they're addicted, just like we have been, and then they grow up, you know, with the cravings to sugary sweets. But because I've never really introduced that to them, they don't like sweets that much, and right. sugary drinks and things like that, they don't really. And I think the basis, what they think, I wrote with my daughter, I wrote sort of 7 tips to keep your teenager sugar free, and she felt that it's all about good food as well, because if you eat well every day, balanced good meals, then you don't get the cravings we do. You know yourself, if you skip a meal, you don't eat very well, or you eat a lot of carbohydrates, then you're constantly wanting to eat something. Yeah. And if you eat a lot of the more sweet foods you eat, the more you want more of it. Whereas if you never really, or if you stop eating it, you notice soon that you don't really want to.
Okay. How early can people get affected with insulin resistance? I mean, are we talking sort of in your teens, in pre-teens? How early can it?
Well, it can affect you at any age, obviously. I don't know. We're all different, you know, genetically different. We might be more prone or more sensitive to carbohydrates than somebody else. And then, it depends on your what you eat every day at home, you know. So I think it depends on that, you know, really. But I think when I look at the, you know, children that, for example, suffer with excess weight, it is insulin resistance. That it's not to do that they would eat too much or eat or exercise too little. That's not what it is. It's all about insulin resistance. So they're eating too many carbohydrates to what they can. But then saying that, I mean, if insulin resistance can basically start before you're even born, because if a mother, we all know about gestational diabetes in mothers, so mothers have too high blood sugar levels, and that blood sugar crosses placenta and can cause the pancreas of the fetus to produce too much insulin. So basically these babies are then born quite large, and that's because they have too much insulin in their system. So unfortunately.
Okay. I never even thought about that. I mean, obviously I know about gestational diabetes and how it's important. I always just
so it's not just the mother's problem. So it affects the unborn baby. So often if babies are, for example, very large after they're born, it's not what they've eaten, obviously, or toddlers that are sort of suffer with excess weight. It's what their mother's diet has been like. So,
Okay. Thank you for that. Okay. You mentioned earlier on that, you know, insulin resistance can be a precursor of many things. It's not just metabolic syndrome as such. It could be a whole host of things that it can affect. What can it also be a precursor of? What are some of the other things that listeners might think they've put it down to something totally different, but actually this might be the root cause, or a factor at least?
Well, it's many things, like I said, you know, with the excess weight and everything. But one important thing that comes to mind is all sorts of hormonal problems. So obviously you have a very, or we have a very fine hormonal balance in our body all the time with many, many different hormones. And if there's a problem with one of them, say insulin, then that has an effect on other hormones as well. Mm-hmm. So we know that things like polycystic ovary syndrome, you know, insulin resistance is the root cause there, right. But there's many other problems. There's for example, with children's early menopause is now thought to be caused by insulin resistance, at least partly. And then something called estrogen dominance in women. So for example, menopause is a difficult time for many women. So if you already have insulin resistance and your hormones are all over the place as it is, then this adds to the problem. With men, prostate problems, so that's different hormonal problems. And that's actually, by the way, it's say stress, it's not just what you eat, it's stress also. So if you have raised levels of stress hormones all the time, then that affects the insulin again and can make your insulin resistance worse. So there. But then aches and pains, chronic pains are quite common at the moment. So there's inflammation that starts with or goes hand in hand with insulin resistance is thought to be the cause there.
Okay. So inflammation of the joints. Inflammation within the joints, within the muscles, we're talking about.
Yeah. There's it's quite common problems, or there's things illnesses or diagnosis called fibromyalgia, which is quite common at the moment, and that type syndromes or conditions that are becoming quite common, and we don't really know what causes these issues. And now there's some studies that come out that are pointing towards inflammation and insulin resistance at that, and it does make sense that.
So if we got a situation that we're in a situation where our bodies are resistant to insulin, we've got all this inflammation going on, maybe we have got some, been diagnosed with fibromyalgia, or we've got some other musculoskeletal symptoms, our hormones might be all over the place, whatever it is, what can we actually do about it? What can we do to know that we definitely have got insulin resistance? Is there a test that we can do?
Well, not really. I mean, you could test your fasting insulin levels, but we don't really do it in primary care at the moment. So there really isn't any specific test for that. We usually test the blood sugar levels, but they can be normal if you're not diabetic yet, or even pre-diabetic, they can be completely normal. And so all you go to your doctor and you have all these tests and they're entirely normal. And then you're told there's nothing wrong with you. You know, we all know that. But I think the main things are that if you might have a little bit raised blood pressure, and then if you're looking at laboratory tests, then your cholesterol levels, there's the HDL, the good cholesterol, might be a bit too low. That's been and then the triglycerides, we used to call sugar fats, might be higher than normal, and that usually tells you that it might be. If in addition to that you have, for example, expanding waistline, so you know, even if you're not overweight or obese, those sort of thing, and then your other symptoms, you know, maybe you're tired or you know that kind of things, then it would be worth, you know, trying to reverse insulin resistance and see what happens. And most of the time it does help.
Okay. I'm a great fan of Professor Roy Taylor's work. You're probably familiar with him with reversing diabetes in the DIRECT study up in, that happened up in Scotland, the Newcastle diet. One of the things he talks about is the people being fat on the inside but thin on the outside, or you can be fat on the outside and thin on the, did I just say that way? I can't, you know what I mean, anyway.
Yeah, so you look thin, but actually, yeah.
Fats, you've fats got around that. The internal organs. And
yeah.
So you could you can actually have insulin resistance, and yet you could be bucking the trend from the point of view of what you look like.
Yeah.
You could.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so the main alerts really should be the way that we're feeling. If we've got some of the symptoms that you talked about earlier on, that's a good likelihood that okay. And what can we do to reverse it? What can we do to get over this situation?
Well, that's just the thing, because it's difficult sometimes. We sort of learn to believe that there's like tablets for everything or medication for everything, but there's nothing. I mean, all these medication for high blood pressure and things, they're only looking at the or treating symptoms, not the root cause. So you have to do something with your lifestyle. You have to. So there's diet, obviously, then stress management, exercise, good sleep, that sort of things. But with the diet, the main issue is that obviously the problem is that you have too much insulin in your body. So the only way to reverse insulin resistance is to reduce the amount of insulin in your body. And the only way you can do that really is to reduce the foods where you need insulin. So that be carbohydrates, so the starchy food, sugar being the most important.
Okay, so the number one thing, the takeout from this really is what pretty much every person with diabetes should know anyway, which is don't eat as many carbs. And I think probably would you agree, I often talk on the show about testing and measuring and knowing what your body is responding to. So you're eating, my example of last night having that rice, I probably should have done a finger prick test and checked what my blood levels were an hour or two afterwards. And then maybe compare that with having the same meal but only half the portion of rice or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. So people should really.
It's all. I mean, we tolerate different amounts, don't we? Some people can eat more carbohydrates, and or if you're active, you can eat more. But people with very severe insulin resistance, or say diabetic, type 2 diabetes or obesity or something like that, they can tolerate very little.
Okay.
So the problem is bad then.
So if we start making these changes, obviously this is probably a stupid question because how long is a piece of string, I suppose, but I was going to say how long does it take to fix it, but obviously that depends on how bad it was before and on the approach you take.
But really quickly, really quickly for most people. I mean, even when there's diabetes there, then often, I mean, we're all different again, but for most people, for example, blood pressure settles within just a couple of weeks.
Mm. Yeah.
No,
absolutely.
Really quickly.
Mm. When I did the Newcastle diet myself 4 or 5 years ago now, within the first 3 or 4 days, I was off my medication for diabetes. Yeah. I took myself off all my medications. Spoke to my doctor first.
You have to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Stressed to say. And I was fairly good. As I say, testing and measuring is a big thing for me. So I had this Excel sheet with all my levels. I looked like a tea bag. I'd pricked myself so many times. And I sent that into them. They said, yeah, definitely come off your meds. Things are going really well. And they were really amazed, because 4 years ago, it was probably a little bit more novel than it is now, maybe. And they were really amazed at everything seemed to have gone back to almost normal so quickly. Obviously, had I gone back into eating unhealthily again, straight away, it would have gone right up again. I had to do 8 weeks or so of the diet to reverse it properly. But anyway, I was turning into my show. There's me spouting off.
Well, that's good. You know, you've done the right things. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I've got to do it.
I think people are told often to lose weight, but weight, I always want to say that weight, like excess weight, is not the root cause. It's a symptom. It's a symptom, just like high blood pressure. You don't say, well, lower your blood pressure. You know, you have to treat the underlying cause, you know, and that it's important to know. And then you go through, you know, or find out how do I eat healthy? It's not just, we all know eating vegetables is healthy, but that's not the, you know, it's you have to look at the insulin there in the background, and then
One other thing, I mean I'm going to point people towards your book, because I haven't bought it yet, but I was looking, and I'm looking right now actually, even so, if you can see me on the screen, I can't see what I look like, so I'm looking at it on Amazon right now. There was a table there which I thought was really good. It's table one. It says the main functions of insulin and the effects of insulin resistance. And I thought that was really, really helpful to me, just to look at all the different things that insulin should be doing and how it works, and then what happens in insulin resistance. I'm definitely going to be getting your book. Can you just tell the listeners a little bit about your book, whether it is for them or whether it's for medics or who's it for?
No. It's just basically I've tried to explain how this works the same way as I explain to my patients. You know, I've tried to, hopefully I understand everything right, but I've tried to sort of explain really briefly how our metabolism works and how insulin works and why there can be problems, and then what the problems can cause, and then how to reverse it. So it goes like, you know, of what it is and how do I know if I have it, and what can be the consequences if I don't do anything, and then how to manage it, how to reverse insulin resistance.
Cool.
Yeah.
Actually, one thing, just to show that I wasn't just looking at it now, but I was looking at it before. There was one thing I said. It said somewhere about not eating too often. Is eating too often as bad as eating too much, or worse, or what's the score?
Yeah, it is. Because we used to think that, you know, when if you eat a lot of carbohydrates, then you're trying to eat often so that your blood sugar levels, because they go up and down, you try to sort of prevent it from going too low so you eat again, but I mean that's just gonna cause additional problems. So we're trying to reduce the amount of insulin in the body, so we can't eat all the time and then need more and more insulin constantly. But there has to be like a balance of when we eat and when we don't eat, so there are other hormones that are active then when we don't eat, and they're the ones that sort of, you know, we're using all the absorbing all the nutrients, we're burning the excess fat or energy that we've eaten, you know, with those hormones. So we're not meant to eat all the time. That's normal. I mean, we don't die overnight when we're fasting, you know, because there are other hormones then keeping the blood sugar levels or preventing it from dropping too low. And we're producing more carbohydrates ourselves, you know, to keep. So it's important to maintain that balance by eating when we need to.
And not eating too late, I assume, as well. And not eating too late as well is important, yeah?
Yeah, I think, yeah, some people, yeah. Well, but yeah, that's what they say. I don't know about that.
Okay, well, I'm glad. I thought I was going to get a rap on the hand then, because that tends to be my biggest weakness, probably, is ending up eating too late after a long day.
But, yeah, well, you know, they do, don't they, in many cultures, you know, French, Spanish, they eat meals in the evening and that's there. And I don't think, whereas then they hardly eat anything in the morning and their lunch could be small and then they eat in the evening. So I don't really think it matters that much.
Yeah.
My opinion, we're all different, you know what? It's you. Some people suffer from heartburn then if they go to bed too soon after.
I suppose, again, it depends on what you are eating as well.
If you eat well, you don't really, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, okay. So do you have a website or?
Yes, I do. I mean, we're starting it, so it's a little bit not ready yet. It's called purdyhealth.com.
Purdyhealth.com. P-U-R-D-Y,
yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. Okie dokes. Please give the listeners the name of the book again. They can get that on Amazon, I believe. Is that where you?
Yeah, want? That's. Could it be insulin resistance?
Okie dokes. And is it available in?
It's on Amazon.
Kindle as well as paper.
I think so. Yeah. And there's more information on Hammersmith Health Books.
Okay.
Their website. Yeah.
Hammersmith Health Books. Okay. Great. Okay. Well. Hannah, I just want us to leave with maybe you just giving your top tips message to the listeners. What if they don't forget everything else that we've talked about today, what would you like them to know?
Well, it's important what we eat every day, isn't it? It's all that your body needs, all the nutrients and the building blocks for all the functions. So I think it really matters what we eat. So whatever we do otherwise, but we need to eat good, healthy food, not the processed food or sugar. So that's
the number one message. Absolutely. It sounds like a good one.
That's the most important thing.
Sounds like a good one. Well, I certainly will be reading your book, and I hope that many of the listeners will get that as well, because I really think it's going to be helpful to them to understand, not just to sort out their diabetes, but all those other conditions that we talked about as well. It can help with many, many other things. So thank you very much for all the hard work. I've written a book. I know how much hard work goes into it. So well done for doing that. And thank you for your time today.
So that was Hannah Purdy. And for those of you that didn't quite catch the name of the book, it was Could It Be Insulin Resistance? Fascinating book. Do go and check it out on Amazon. You can obviously on Amazon, you always get a chance to have a look at a few pages before purchasing. And I think you'll find that the pages there really do spark some interest. They certainly did for me. There's so many different conditions that could be put down to insulin resistance, or at least in part put down to it. So please do go and check it out. You can get it on Kindle. You can get it on paperback. Certainly, I think it would be a good book to have a read of, and just see, maybe there is something you're putting up with in life, some sort of condition, metabolic condition that you're putting up with in life, which could quite simply be down to insulin resistance. And there's so many, many people who have got insulin resistance. But over in America, pre-diabetes, which is basically the road to insulin resistance, and to a degree there is already insulin resistance there. That is, over in America, one third of people have got it, and only 7% of them know it. So how many people are walking around with, you know, this condition, with insulin resistance and lots of other ailments which they don't know what's causing it, and in actual fact it could just be a matter of dealing with the insulin resistance. So Hannah, thank you very much for sharing what you did. Thank you very much for bringing your book into the world, and take good care. And please, listeners, let's look into it, let's do something about it. Okie dokes. Well, we're going to be closing out the show now. It's been a fantastic show to do, and I hope it really has helped you. We're going to play a song in theme of the week that it is here in the UK, because it is on the 5th of November. It is firework night, but it's bonfire night, it's also called. And we are going to listen to a song now by James Blunt called Bonfire Heart. I do hope you enjoy. I love the song. I came across it, I think I played it actually this time last year, so no marks for originality from me, but it's a good excuse to play it, so I'm going to. Hope you enjoy it. Have a fantastic week ahead.
is a revolver. Find bullets in the sky. Your love is like a soldier, loyal till you die. And I've been looking at the stars for a long, long time. I've been putting out fires all my life. Everybody wants a flame, they don't want to get burned. And today is our turn. Getting colder, strangers passing by. No one offers you a shoulder, no one looks you in the eye. But I've been looking at you for a long, long time, just trying to break through, trying to make you mine. Everybody wants a flame, they don't want to get burned. Well, today starts the spark in our bonfire hearts.
And that is it for this week's show. You've been listening to Peter Alton with The Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio, your global, real, feel-good radio station. All that remains is for me to say have a fantastic week. Stay safe in the diabetes sweet spot, living the ideal diabetic lifestyle. I look forward to sharing more with you next week. Take good care and God bless.